Well, go ahead, sing.
Moaning low, my sweet man is gonna go. When he goes, oh Lordy, he's the kind of man needs the kind of woman like me. Oh, give me that drink now, Johnny.
No.
Johnny.
No.
But you promised.
So what?
You said that.
But you were right.
The storm. Show it your gun, why don't you? If it doesn't stop, shoot it.
So the public votes out prohibition. That's the end of the mobs. Next time it'll be different, though. We learned our lesson, all right. Next time the mobs will get together.
Make a big wave. Send it crashing down on us. Destroy us all if need be, but punish him.
Now shut up, old man. I'm warning you. Shut up!
Hear me. Hear me.
I'll kill you, Rocco!
Make a big wave. Send it against us. Take us all, but destroy him.
Watching the shore to find you once more. Killago, alone on Killago, how empty it seems with only my dreams. Killago, but where is the face? My heart won't erase the moon tide rolling in from the sea. Just watching the shore to find you once more in Killago. Find you once more in Killago.
Okay, there's Key Largo. And Ed, for all you movie buffs, getting a little of the soundtrack from the movie.
With Warner, all those great actors and actresses.
Warner Brothers.
1948. And tell us about some of the actors. Of course, Edward G. Robinson.
He was the baddie.
Humphrey.
Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall. Dan Seymour, the radio announcer. The great Barrymore.
Lionel Barrymore.
Mark Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
We go on to the baddies.
Tell
too.
Me about Claire
Thomas
Trevor.
Gomez. Thomas.
Tell me about Claire Trevor.
Does this have to do with the show? No, she played this. She played the.
Really, she sang.
She
that
she
piece.
Wanted you know, to get back with Edward G. Wright, and she had to have booze, and he really embarrassed and made her. You want the booze? You got to sing. Remember, and she sang terribly. She really wasn't a singer, but they made her do that in the role. You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
she was a very. She was a great actress.
She got an Academy Award for that. Mm-hmm.
So Seth, not really mm-hmm. filmed in Key Largo.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I wonder.
I don't think so.
I don't think they found it amenable to stars to hang around what was built in Key Largo in 1948. The whole Keys was fishing.
Yeah.
If you think about it, a fishing village, a lazy, until the Navy moved out. And then they had to do something in Key West to get. I was stationed in Key West at the Naval Air Station, because I was in the Air Force, where you see the big milk bubbles.
Well, that's Stock right. Island. That's Stock the first island north right. of Key West.
Do you know that was considered semi-remote duty? You had a, you could bid out, you could forecast out. If you didn't have your wife with you, and they paid for it 16 months after you were there, 12 months. There's remote, semi-remote, and isolated. You know, that was considered the lowest of the semi-remote, because it was a Navy town. If you like to go fishing, the big city kids were going crazy. They didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'd come home on 3-day breaks. You know, now Key West, the original Conks had to leave. I know people
can't afford it.
They couldn't afford to stay there. So whenever this change, it changes for always.
The great historian who passed away, Wright Langley, and I memorialize Wright and his dear wife Joan in my greatest railroad story ever told, Henry Flagler and the Florida East Coast Railway's Key West Extension. And Joan, it reached a point where she had to move, and she moved to Gainesville. It was just too much for her being in Key West at that point.
You know, you got to change the name of your book, Seth. It takes 20 minutes to give a title. You say, in my Bramson book number one, in my Bramson book number two. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, but can't we just use, for example, the Miami Beach and the Arcadia's Images of America, Carl Gable?
There you go.
He's got these titles. It takes the whole page to print on the title. I mean, very good.
Yeah, well, look how good they are.
Yeah, hey.
Ted, if I may, before Please. We lose Charlie, can you give us any thoughts about Gilly's? What an incredible New York club.
Sinatra
told him to come down to Miami Beach and 79th Street exploded, I understand.
Well, I'm really not an authority on that. Whatever I can say, I can only think my hearsay. But Gilly's was his go-to guy to do whatever he needed to have done. Mm-hmm. There were some ugly stories about Gilly having to do, you know, Frank's dirty work, mm-hmm. and there were also stories about a lot of other people that literally went to the Slammer because they were doing Sinatra a favor. I mean, this is all hearsay. Some of them are true, though.
Sure. Seth, any idea about Gilly's?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, 79th Street before Gilly's, right. before Dino's or Dean Martin's, was a really hopping place. You had the luau there. We haven't mentioned that yet.
Right.
Funfair was there.
Sherry's.
Well, Sherry's was on the north on the,
right
on the west side. It was beautiful, wonderful place. Just a little bit west of Place for Steak. Place for Steak was a great jumping place. And, I mean, you're talking about all these marvelous places.
It became Nick and Arthur's, didn't it?
No. Nick and Arthur's, years ago.
That's Park Place. The original people from Park Place was Nick and Arthur's, right?
Well, very possibly. But what happened was that one of the biggest lunatics ever to have existed in the food and beverage business, a guy by the name of Hi Yucatel.
Yes.
Ooh, I remember
and
that. Place for
Hi, Steak. Yeah, Hi hired me as his general manager for Nick and Arthur's, Place for Steak, and Lindy's at the Omni. Mm. And I was his longest-lived general manager. I lasted 8 months. When you went to work for Yucatel,
you set a record.
You got exactly, but you got $250 a week, half the profits, and all the promises you would believe. And there were never any profits, so that was it. He was a maniac. But be that as it may, it was an incredible time. Well, how did it come to be with Dean Martin's and Jilly's? In 1954, some guys opened a place called the Buccaneer. And the Buccaneer, my father did the neon signs for. And then it was going to be an indoor fun fair, was what it was going to be. And then time went on, it had some different ownerships. And then eventually it became Dean Martin's. And then Jilly opened next door. And then then Dean Martin's became Dino's. And then Jilly's became Obie's. Prince Obolensky took over and became a great backgammon place. And that was when backgammon was hot. And there were, at that time, I'm talking about, because I remember it, I was a fair to middle and backgammon player, but not like some of these guys. And I saw 10 and 12 and 15 and 18,000 change hands right on the table. So it was a hopping place. And then you had the Hap Happies, and the Stork Bar was still there. And really just a great place to be at the time.
And then in the mid-70s, Wayne Cochran blew away the barn.
Oh my God, Wayne Cochran, it was just great. Where the Crab Place just closed. That was the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Just marvelous memories that
not
that
to
Ed
be confused
there.
With the Red Barn.
No. The Red Barn was something
I know,
completely
that
different.
Was way out that was a
he actually had his own little newspaper published when he was at the barn. I've seen one copy of it.
Well,
talking about all the principals,
sure.
The owner.
It would be a great collectible. Great collectible. And of course, Funfair was Funfair.
Gentlemen, on Key Largo, the Ramshackle Hotel, where most of the drama unfolds, was constructed on the Warner Brothers lots.
Yeah.
It along with the beach area. Exterior shots of the hurricane were actually taken from stock footage used the night on Tonight, 1949, a Ronald Reagan melodrama made the same year at Warner Brothers. It was nothing for them to do.
Like CSI Miami.
Yeah.
With the wonderful views of the oil wells of the mountains, you know, it was just ridiculous.
Well, Moon Over Miami with gypsy violins play. There's no song about Miami about Florida that ever made it big, you know. Even Idaho had a hit. Mm-hmm. About Idaho, the
well, what was the Moon Over Miami was a hit.
It was a movie, wasn't
but
it?
But they never sang the song.
They never sang the song in the movie.
And if you look at the words, it's nothing to do with Miami. They talk about strolling with gypsy violins playing. Did you ever see gypsy violins play on Miami Beach? If it's, you know. Charlie, when you pay to come in on Sundays, it's for the full show. So you're invited to stay. No, if you have to leave.
Thank you for
if you
inviting
have
me.
To leave, and we implore you to stay, you know, because... The midnight dinner comes in, you know. But
Stone crab from
the dining car. But I am the only thing. Where's my list? I made a list of things I wanted to talk to Charlie. I mentioned names like Martian Adams and all that, and people here. But you were very. You talk about. I want you to talk about the two numbers I'll play as you leave. Don Goldie.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
Who for many years, when no jazz was being played here,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
even though his sidemen always kicked about not being paid enough,
yeah,
he kept the
he had a hard time. He was a great musician, but mm-hmm. had a very hard time.
Well, his eyes did him in, the diabetes, right?
Yeah.
And also, I want you to tell the stories of Billie Holiday, because I was going to play
them. Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's how I got to talk to Charlie a lot. Well, you must tell us, because you were there, you saw things, right?
Yeah. There was a place called, in Miami, I can't remember the
name. Asta. Did you say the Asta where you saw him?
No, I saw. Who are you talking about?
Billie Holiday.
Oh, Billie Holiday. No, I saw her in a club at the end of her career, which was really, it was a little, really slimy joint in Miami.
Remember the name?
I can't remember the name. I have to.
Okay, the slimy joint.
Go ahead. Well, whatever it was. But what I remember so sadly about her is that she got up and she sang as only she could, whether she was sober or not, or otherwise. Mm-hmm. And this is the truth. And I watched her when she was through her set. She sat down all alone. It was really, the Something and Something was the name of the club. I forget what it was. But anyway, she was sitting there and she was smoking a cigarette. And then she kind of dozed off, you know, she just kind of
fell
asleep.
She was out of it. We know about that.
And the cigarette was burning. And I remember going over to her and I said, Miss Holiday, you're going to burn your fingers. And I took the cigarette out of her fingers, her hand. But what was tragic about it is she still wore her famous flower in her hair. And her voice was still great. And from there, she went back to New York, where she was banned.
Right.
And she couldn't. And she ended up in the hospital, dying there, not having ever been allowed to sing again in New York.
She was strung out by the time you saw her.
She was strung out. It was a rough period.
I try not to play recordings of her in that era.
But the magic of watching her was incredible.
Now, I know Don Goldie said he played.
Ball and Chain. That was the name
ball
of the
Ball and Chain.
The Ball and Chain.
Okay, wow. Seth, you got a mission now. The Ball and Chain.
I'll have to look it up. It's not ringing a bell.
It must have been a marriage club.
It was somewhere in Miami. I forget what street it was.
Well, that narrows it.
But that was the kind of clubs I was handling, you know.
Well, listen,
that's
great.
How you get to see building my club.
There was a jazz club out on the trail.
The trail, yeah.
That I saw an ad from the early 60s, I believe, maybe late 50s, that featured Chet Baker out on the trail.
Right, Chet Baker sang here too. But I'm pretty sure it was the Ball and Chain.
And, of course, Don Goldie said he played... backed her when she sang at the Clover Club. He backed her at the Clover Club.
And Don Goldie was playing big rooms for a while.
Backing Billie Holiday.
Here he is at the Shoremead Hotel with
he
his band.
He was playing, though.
Dixieland, Mambo, Dreamy, we have it.
Yeah.
Reserve now, New Year's Eve party.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you were friendly with him more than just... did you work with him or you just...
No, I worked with him. Worked with Don Gold. He was a nice guy. He was a little flaky.
Musician, but they're artists.
But
he was
a good guy.
Highly recorded.
And kind of sad. He played backup for a lot of big bands.
Oh, yeah. Worked with Teagarden. Yeah. Never with Jack Teagarden. Yeah.
But he was a great guy, though.
And there's about two or three dozen records that he cut down here.
What label,
Ted?
It's a label that never moved.
Jazz Forum?
Yeah, it's one of those.
He had a big ego, which got in his way.
Yeah,
if I remember.
Had a big waistline and a big ego.
Yeah,
sad ending.
The diabetes. Yeah. Diabetes. Sad ending. He couldn't see, and he says, "If I can't see," and he took his life.
Yeah.
And there are many blind musicians that can play still, especially jazz with you improvise.
We miss Herbie Brock.
Herbie Brock was
right. At the 1800
Herbie
Club.
Brock
no.
Trio.
Yeah.
The 1800 Club, which is a very happening club.
Well, he started on his own club, though, Charlie, on Collins, north of the Epicure. In that area, he had his own club.
Now you're talking about Collins or Alton. Epicure
is on
Alton.
Alton.
Yeah. Right.
And he recorded on Savoy, then. I have one of those.
Savoy, right.
And it was Marion told us. We heard people who saw him in his own downstairs, in his own little joint there on Alton Road.
He had a sad...
Wait a minute. Would that have been the Trade Winds on Alton Road?
I don't know. I know it was in that area before Dade Boulevard and South. I believe that's been changed over many times, but he also, I had him as a guest and I did the quiz with him, and he was the old type of musician. He didn't like singers. He didn't believe in singers. He had to carry a singer because people wanted to hear a song. He didn't want singers. But what I did one, knowing that, I played Al Jolson. And I says, was he a jazz singer or not? And he got worked up. I played him Chico Marx and I said, tell me about his piano playing. And but he was an old pro. He was really Herbie Brock was here. So we always had jazz people. Every city has always some, you know, local. But
it's good jazz clubs.
Do you remember Jackie Davis?
No.
Charlie?
Organist.
Wonderful organist, recorded with Ella Fitzgerald.
That's later on in the 70s.
And an actor.
I don't remember.
Yeah. That's later on in the 80s. Yeah. Jackie Davis.
Jackie Davis. In the 70s, too. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Charlie, you're invited to stay.
Well, thank you very much. I have a dog to walk. He'll appreciate it if I come home.
I do. We'll let you go in a minute. We're going to get to the music. And you're invited back.
Thank you.
Please.
It's been a pleasure being here.
We don't do this every week. Will you come back again?
I'd love to. I should work a little earlier.
I can't help it. That's it. We'll see you out and we'll play.
Thank you, Ted.
We're here to midnight. Stay along. It's still Seth.
I'll listen to you on the way home.
Thank you. And Seth's going to be with us, Ed Bell, and so forth.
All alone, waited for you to phone. Said you'd call me at 2. So by 3:20, I had cocktails with Lee. Baby, I don't cry over you. Stood me up in the rain, tried to hurt me again. Bet you thought I'd be blue. To a show with a swell guy named Joe. Maybe I don't cry over you. These foolish games you keep playing might work with somebody else, but I could have told you right from the start, no man's a man enough to break my heart. If you don't come tonight, think you'll give me a fright. Tell you what I will do.
put on my best gown and go painting this town. Maybe I don't cry over you.
Thank you. quickest way to get to Harlem. I say, if you should take the A train, you're fine, you'll get where you're going if you hurry. I said, hurry, 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 now it's coming. Ooh, ooh, can't you hear the rails coming? Ooh, get with it. If you should take the A train, you're fine, you'll get where you're going if you hurry. Woo-woo, I ain't mad at you, pretty baby, don't you dare be mad at me. Squeeble it, pull up, squiddle oop, oop, be doo.
Oop, be doo, ow, down, the bum, boop, be doo, 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 doo,
back with you now. Let's see which mics we have. Ed, are you coming in?
Yes, sir.
Ed is here working around, getting things for the rest of the show. We can tell you, first of all, thanks again, Charlie's on the way home. And it gets late. It's not the only guest we've had where it gets a little late for people. If you know, if you're an A personality, now you did jazz for years. Talk, let me see if I got the right mic for you now. I broke down something.
One, two, one,
there
two.
You are. And jazz is a late night, really. You know, radio, it should be. How can you do like blues at 4 p.m? You know, you want to. And then, and you used to follow me here and do a show and work some afternoons.
Late Sunday nights.
And now you're really an 8 to 5 guy, you know. I mean,
yeah,
did you have it?
About 9 to
it was,
6.
It's tough to adjust when you first started.
Very tough because I've always been a night person.
Night owl.
So for decades, I've had to turn that,
of course
that
you
body
did.
Clock back, and it sometimes it just collides.
But at the time also you got married, and I think those hours, unless your wife works late, it helps out.
Oh, she worked worse hours than
she
I
had
did.
Shift work.
She would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning
to fly
out of Miami or Fort Lauderdale at 3 or 4 in the morning.
She was on the
you imagine trying to be nice to people then? You know?
She was on the 24-hour schedule.
It's horrible. Yeah. It's a horrible schedule.
How much did she work though? How much longer did she continue when she married you?
Oh, she just retired about close to 2 years ago.
Oh.
So she has worked in the airline industry over 40 years. And I'm on my 43rd year on radio down here. So we're tired.
It must have been. What
we want to wrap it up, Seth.
Boy, when she had to finally retire and not. Look, what time I get up Tuesday and next, it had to be a real shock to her.
Well, it's interesting.
That many years, Ed. I mean, she should have had a schedule by that time where
she was on a pretty decent schedule. She shouldn't have been getting up for a 6 o'clock flight anymore.
It would change. You got me, Ted?
I got you. I got 40.
Back up. There we are.
45
she would
on.
She would change her schedule every month. They'd bid on a schedule.
Right, but you can only in the airline industry, as your seniority increases, you are told, you know, you get to bid for the schedules, and no longer having to get up for a 6 o'clock flight.
Unless
out of here.
You want that.
Unfortunately, she lost a lot of seniority crossing over. She started out at National, and then went into Pan Am. Mm-hmm. 6 months before Pan Am took a nosedive, she jumped over to Delta, lost a lot of her seniority.
Oh, sure.
Unfortunately, and you know, she had a great career. She really enjoyed it, saw the world.
And then she turns around and she wakes up and she sees him.
My God, what have I done?
She wakes up one day, there's the Eiffel Tower. You know, she has accordions and wine and Eiffel Tower. Then she wakes up and she sees the beard over here. You know what I mean?
My God, this isn't a beatnik, is it?
By the way, just for a quick thing, because we want the music. Eastern Airlines coming back, Seth.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
They have their uniforms designed. They showed it on TV. They bought, whoever bought it, bought the emblems and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's like Pan Am. Mm-hmm. Pan Am is now a railroad, and they operate a whole bunch of the New England railroads
now. Do they use the same emblem with the world? It says Pan Am?
No, but you got the Pan Am Flight Training Academy is still here.
Oh, okay.
But the airline is no longer in existence. However, as I say, it's a railroad operating in New England.
I mean, that was one of the first major airlines. You know, Pan Am. I mean, Eastern.
Out of Coconut Grove. I would have loved to have flown on one of those seaplanes.
Well, remember, though, Pan Am started in 1928 with their first flights land-based out of Key West.
Ah, really?
So, they were a Key West. Well, they were not based in Key West, but their first flights were Key West Havana. So they stopped, you know,
big
stopped out of there.
So this is what we heard. Gentlemen, played in honor of Charlie leaving, because I know he had stories about these two. The Best of Hogan Carmichael with Don Goldie. Play a little Skylark for us. I think maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Maybe
beautiful
he was
tune.
On flugelhorn. It was kind of mellow. Mm-hmm. Eddie Gralka on tenor. Jack Keller on piano.
Worked
a lot with Eric Allison.
Yeah, Jack Keller.
Mark Trail on
Mark
bass.
Mark Trail.
Not the comic strip Mark Trail.
No, great bassist here in South
There's
Florida.
There's your Red Hawley on drums.
And Red Hawley.
And how many people remember the comic strip Mark Trail, which appeared in the Miami News? Miami Daily News.
The Blue Streak.
Right.
Now, that was the late edition. Ella Fitzgerald singing Baby, I Don't Cry Over You. April 9th, 1946 on Decca with the Billy Kyle group. Billy Kyle on piano. Hmm. You know, of course, Billy Kyle. Was with Satchmo for years in his old American. And Joe Guy on trumpet. Jimmy Shirley guitar. Tom Barney bass. And Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark. Did you play Billie Holiday from that?
That's Billie Holiday. Baby, I Don't Cry Over You.
Wonderful.
And then we went, and this is where we want to hear from you, Seth. Woody Herman and his orchestra live doing Waylon in the Woodshed from the Electronics Hall in Miami, 1057 Northwest 17th Avenue.
1057.
One of our listeners, when I played this years ago, called me up. Either new electricians or was an electrician family, and got me the exact address.
Wow.
All it says on this, you copy this, two CDs,
the
library, it says Electronics Hall, 1657.
Was that a Union 16, Hall?
1657.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. It has to be Union.
Be on the north side of the river.
Right.
17th Avenue. That would be on the east side of the street, north side of the river. But it's not, I'm not from, you know, sometimes, Ted.
You can't know every building.
Well, my students will ask me a question,
right?
You know, in my history class, and I'll say, well, gee, I'm going to have to look it up.
That's right.
But wait a minute, but professor, you wrote the book. And I'll say, I wrote it. I didn't memorize it.
That's
so,
that's your homework assignment, memorize the book.
You're like Frank. I mean, he needed to go over his lyrics after a while, you know?
Right.
So the hall has to be, halls are, the old time people that had like union halls, they had it not only for meetings, you could have parties, affairs there, so you could bring a big band in there, and it's a dual recording, right? And then a gal we mentioned, and you were very familiar with the works of, she was so lovely when she was.
She was.
Phyllis Hyman, out of Miami, did R&B, did pop tunes and rock, and then showed her jazz side here. This whole show, Sophisticated Ladies, and she's doing the A-Train, scatting with Greg Gregory Hines.
Ah, wow.
And by the way, Victor put that under their Red label, which is their classical label, not their their pop. And unfortunately, as many in the times of the day fell into some bad habits, and she wasn't with it. It was fast, huh?
Yeah, supposedly.
She could have been around. Good. So as you line up something, I want you to hear something for us. It's just going to go like 20 seconds, okay?
Hmm.
And then what I tell you about it is we're still honoring radio here. It's still May. We're all on the radio.
Friends, you owe it to yourself and your family to leave the congested city and enjoy what nature intended you to enjoy. Visit our new apartment homes in Hawthorne Court, Jackson Heights, where you may enjoy community life in a friendly environment.
Okay. Commercial, right? That's part of the commercial. WEAF in New York City. Sign on the air. March 2nd, 1922. They were then the NBC affiliate. Now it's WNBC. And they were owned by AT and Western Electric. So it was the WEAF stood for, it was American Telephone and Water, Earth, Air, and Fire. WEAF, the four classic elements. And the commercial for the real estate, Jackson Heights, was promoted because the new elevated train line, the L's, was available. The IRT's Flushing to Corona line, it's now the line number 7. Right. And we heard part of that commercial.
Hmm.
That commercial, by the way, I think the whole commercial, it cost them $400 for a commercial.
Wow.
I don't know how many times they
did it.
Such
a deal.
Well, you know, and we're talking about Ed, September 28th, 1922.
Oh.
By the way, becoming the flagship station for NBC, WAAF, left the air October 7th, 1988. Its frequency is now the sports station, The Fan, New York, WFAN. And the call letters, WEAF, is now a gospel station in Camden, South Carolina.
Amen.
What's their number? What's their FM number, Ted?
They're not an FM.
No.
They're AM.
Oh, they're AM.
They're AM. Okay. I don't know what The Fan is. New York people would know. But for many years, CBS was WCBS, but EAF was. And then you had the Blue and the Red Network. That goes into
KDKA.
Well, that's the first considered network.
Yeah, that's right.
Pittsburgh. That's why they're entitled to keep the K. But
well, explain where the K is geographically so everybody knows.
Well, once they got, it wasn't the FCC, it was before that. When they formed a government organization to monitor radio and communications, they decided the Mississippi would be the line. Mm-hmm. Everything east of the Mississippi will be W and west will be K. But those that already established are grandfathered.
Right.
So
KDKA.
KDKA, which is Westinghouse. Mm-hmm. And in Detroit, WJZ. Mm-hmm. It's a W, but they're also entitled to keep the W. But TV2 and radio is also, you know, K and W. So there you go. But there's a little radio history for us. And we don't talk much about commercials, but we had to do that for you, part of the first. That's a whole record of commercials from the beginning of time, but only part of that.
And the
Flushing Heights.
The first radio station in Florida was here in Miami.
IOD? QAM.
QAM.
QAM was the first.
IOD was the second, was it not?
I think so.
And we're the first FM station in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, we're the first FM. Years ago, we were celebrating our
1947.
When nobody had FM.
Yeah.
And I remember that as a kid, QAM was ABC affiliate. And KAT was Mutual. They used to carry the Mutual of the day. And CBS was GBS. WGBS.
Did you know that Frank Katzentin, either before he died or whenever, he donated all of his memorabilia to Barry University.
Mm.
And just great photographs. Mm. All these people, I mean, Milton Berle and Eddie Cantor and even Al Jolson, who had autographed pictures to him. And it's all up
but
now in Barry.
Out of vindictiveness, he lost out. And I'll tell you that story off mic because we're a music show. Ed, what are you lined up for us? Ed?
I have an unusual piano performance by a grand dame here in South Florida who broke the color barrier in the 50s.
Ooh.
A lovely white woman of Jewish heritage that defied convention and brought together, started the first multiracial music school. I'm talking of the grand Dr. Ruth Greenfield.
Uh-huh.
There's a magnificent documentary out about her, produced by a wonderful documentarian from Broward County, Steve Waxman. And it is about...
He just did our WLRN Jewish military in South Florida.
And she and her husband, who was a lawyer at the time, started this school in Miami, and black and white kids for the first time learned great music together. And she is phenomenal. She's in her early 90s now.
And this is an interview with her, or what is this?
No, this is Dr. Ruth Greenfield and a piece, I believe she wrote, called Someday. And then we have something that you'll recognize coming up right next to it.
This is only a minute and 40 seconds,
yeah,
both.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Here it is.
I want to wake up in the morning where the orange blossoms grow, where the sun comes peeping into where I'm sleeping and the songbirds say hello. I love the fresh air and the sunshine, they're so good for us, you know. So I'll make my home in Florida where the orange blossoms grow.
Shall we talk?
Well, I bet you guys sang that tune in school.
We did in elementary school.
Absolutely. Florida State Song. I want to wake up.
No, Florida State Song is still Old Folks at Home.
Is it Old Folks? Well, that's right. That's
but
right.
This but was
this,
a...
This was what the kids this. Sang.
I gave you the music. The
Orange Blossoms.
I want to wake up in the orange groves where the children used to play.
And that was Gary Lawrence and his group.
Try to contact
No, no, no. Him. No, he wasn't singing.
I haven't contacted
but,
him.
But he was on that piano. I Gary Lawrence, right. Marvelous pianist.
And
the sun comes
peeping into where I'm sleeping, and the songbird says hello.
Can you guys do that in harmony,
I don't
please?
Know all the words. So I gave you the sheet music,
mm-hmm.
but no, they don't play that. They still play
All it. We got out of Gary was 30 seconds.
Yeah,
so that's,
I don't know that.
That's
all. Maybe that was enough for him.
But before that, Dr. Ruth Greenfield, I believe she was the first degree out of the University of Miami back in the 50s.
In music, you're saying? Classical
yeah,
music?
In music. That was, I believe, her composition called Someday, a delightful lady who, thank the Lord, is still with us. And look for that wonderful WLRN documentary on her great music school, her wonderful school.
This is 91.3 WLRN and HD1, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Palm Beaches, and 91.5 WKWM and HD1, Marathon, Key West. And we're live online at WLRN.org.
Very good. Thank you, Wanda. I get all the female voices I want on the show there, Ed. We only played you. Have you lined something else for us? Or
Oh, shall I?
Well, we're here to midnight. You know, we can't do dead air.
No, we sure couldn't do that. So Orange Blossom Song, I mean, that was sung in every school. It was kind of, what, mandatory, guys?
Yeah, we
no, you
it.
Had real music school. You had a teacher come and play piano. You did, let me get this here, Ed, and then we did We did shows. You do a holiday show. You do plays. You do music.
But fourth grade was the Florida History Unit, and we sung that in the fourth grade.
We sung it all the time. I was at South Beach. Where did you go to school?
I went to Biscayne Elementary, and then to Nautilus, and then to Beach High.
You were a North Beach person. You went to Biscayne.
Pardon me.
That's North Beach.
Yeah, but you know, I'm glad you're talking about Ruth, because what was her name? Who was the mother of Cromer or Cassell, Matazuka.
Oh yeah, oh,
and, Montezuka.
We should.
She'd have concerts in.
Oh my God! It was with Cesar LaMonica here. I mean, going back to his concerts in Bayfront Park and Montezuka. What a talent! What an incredible woman!
There wasn't much to do. People would go to the original Bayfront Park Bandshell,
right,
which is torn down, where the old library was too. Remember, and they'd have concerts. And it was almost like semi-classical type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing, right?
But she was a talent beyond words. And I'm sure that Ruth Greenfield very well knows Matazuka.
Sure.
Or Neuer.
I heard the interview that Ed did with her on that. And, you're finding something, are you?
May I have time to play some of her music?
Yes, if you'd like.
Wonderful.
I'm doing a South Florida Arts Beat show now here, huh?
Yes, indeed. Shall I kick this in?
You can if you like.
Are we up?
I would like you to put it to the other side. Okay. Move it over to the other side. Thank you.
Here we go. We're talking technical here, shall I, sir?
No, I want to play something first that I'm behind.
But there's Montezuka for you.
Thank you so much.
Incredible.
Ed talks in the mic here.
Just happened to have some.
In honor of Mother's Day and as part of Baptist Health's ongoing commitment to the community, women without insurance can get access to a screening or diagnostic digital mammogram at a Baptist Health diagnostic location this month. Women age 40 and over should have a screening mammogram each year, and those at high risk due to family history or other factors should speak with their doctor to determine if earlier or additional testing is necessary. You can make an appointment May 1st through 31st. A doctor's prescription is required. Info at baptisthealth.net.